Good afternoon, Sean.
I suppose for our younger listeners, we should start by explaining what the Irish Hospital Sweepstakes were and how they worked.
The Irish Hospital Sweepstakes, I suppose the best thing to describe them is as the forerunner to the modern Irish National Lottery. Mm. The big difference between the sweepstake and the lottery, whereas the lottery is run every week, the sweepstake was only run three times every year. Three draws took place and they were linked to the major English horse races like the Aintree Grand National and the Epsom Derby. The draw for the sweepstake took place a week before the horse race. If your ticket drew a horse, then the prize you won in the sweepstake depended on where the horse was placed in the race.
Mm.
So it was more complicated than the lottery. And because it only ran three times a year rather than every week, it was something that there was much more excitement built up around every time a draw was coming up.
Yes. And during the years it ran, how much money potentially could people win on it?
It varied over time. Initially, we're talking about huge sums of money. The biggest prize I think that was ever given out was in 1931. I think the first prize in 1931 was something like 300,000, which by 1931 standards is huge.
Yeah.
After that, that created a lot of opposition. Particularly people associated with English horse racing were afraid the Irish Hospital Sweepstake was going to ruin English racing. So the promoters decided that they would break the amounts of money in prize money down into bigger units and give people more prizes, spread it around more.
Mm.
So for the rest of the 1930s, the top prize tended to be about £30,000, but there would be a number of winners of £30,000.
Mm.
And by the standards in the 1930s and the economic depression, that was still a considerable amount of money. After the war, that went up to about £50,000, and then by the 1970s, it was up to about £100,000. So it was a very substantial amount of money, and it was fairly well spread around. You could have maybe 10 or 15 winners of first prize in the 1930s.
Mm. And indeed, it was innovative not just for Ireland, but for a lot of the Western world that it was quite well known. Who were the people who thought up the idea?
The idea came really from a Dublin bookmaker called Richard Duggan, who during the 1920s was very active in running sweepstakes for Dublin hospitals. So there's a tradition of running the sweepstake form of the lottery to raise funds for hospitals before the official Irish sweepstake is legalised in 1930.
And Richard Duggan's were illegal, though.
Yes, they were. Well, you see, in Ireland, it was a bit vague after independence in 1922. The old British law outlawing lotteries from the early 19th century was still in force, but to a very large extent, the legal authorities tended to turn a blind eye if these lotteries were small enough and were organised for charitable purposes. But in the 1920s, when Duggan came along and started organising huge lotteries, which, admittedly, the proceeds did go to charity, but he got a fair whack himself in commission. The Irish Free State didn't like this and they did start to clamp down on it. But then by the end of the 20s, with the Irish hospitals facing a serious financial crisis, the Irish government was faced with two things. It could either fund the hospitals itself or legalise the situation that was there in effect, legalise sweepstakes as a way of funding the hospital, building and equipping hospitals. And the Irish Free State government in 1930 was in no state to start funding hospitals. So it went for the, maybe not the lesser of two evils, they decided then that the only way they could solve both of their problems of illegal lotteries operating and also bring in money for hospitals was to legalise the hospital sweepstakes.
And it was legal in the Republic of Ireland. Was it legal in the UK to sell the tickets? Was it legal in the US to sell the tickets?
Mm. It's very interesting, the situation in the US, in both of those jurisdictions. In the UK, the lottery legislation going back to the 1820s, the outlawed public lotteries, was still in force. But it was very easy to get around it. Irish sweepstakes tickets were being smuggled into the UK in all sorts of ways. One of the funniest ones I found was an old soldier complaining that old former members of the Connaught Rangers going over to a regimental dinner in Britain had their flag confiscated on the grounds that there might be sweepstake tickets rolled up inside it. But the sweep became so popular in Britain by 1934, and so much money was leaving Britain at a time of severe economic crisis there, when British hospitals were under such financial pressures that the British government brought in new legislation which was aimed at stopping the sweepstake from advertising. It wasn't illegal to actually possess a sweep ticket, but was illegal to import it, to sell it, or to send the money back to Ireland or to advertise it. So that had a fairly big effect on it. Likewise, in the US, lotteries, not just foreign lotteries, but most domestic lotteries were outlawed as well until the mid to late 1960s. And when the Americans start to loosen up their own laws on lotteries and legalise their own state lotteries, that was really what spelled the end for the Irish sweepstakes.
And in the US, as I understand it, some of the people who were selling the tickets had rather dubious connections themselves anyway.
Yes, there would have been some suggestions of associations with organised crime. I wasn't able to find a huge amount of evidence on that. I suppose from the Irish point of view, what is most interesting is trying to ascertain to what extent the sweepstake was linked to Irish Republican activity in the US. There's no doubt that the key men in the IRA and Plan na Gael in the US in the 1930s, Joseph McGarrity and Connie Nenan, they were also the key men in the sweepstake in the US at the time. Now, I haven't been able to find the exact evidence that would say that the sweep money was being used for IRA purposes. What we can surmise is we can put two and two together and say, well, Joseph McGarrity is the sweep's main man in the US. In 1930, the man is broke because he had severe financial problems during the 1930s. When he got the sweep agency, he became very rich as a result of the commission he was making on selling sweep tickets. I also know from looking at Joseph McGarrity's diary from the 1930s that he used his own personal money to buy guns for the IRA. So where was he getting his money from? He was getting his money from the commission he made selling sweep tickets. So that's one of the connections there. British intelligence were also satisfied that the same channels that were being used to send the remittances from sweep tickets from the US back to Ireland were also being used to channel funds back to the IRA in Ireland. So there is certainly a connection there.
What went wrong in the end with the Irish sweepstakes?
Went wrong. The first thing I've kind of hinted at already was the Americans decided to beat the Irish at their own game. They saw how successful the Irish sweep and other foreign lotteries were, and individual states and also municipal entities like the City of New York, to relieve their own taxpayer burdens, decided to set up domestic lotteries. That's the first thing. I think as well things started to go wrong in Ireland. By the early 1970s, first of all, the hospital running costs went so far, so high by the 50s and 60s that the sweepstake just could not provide the money, enough money to build them anymore, to equip them. So the state did need to take a much bigger role in running hospitals. People in Ireland as well by the early 1970s started to ask questions about this dubious enterprise. In the Oireachtas, debates in the Oireachtas on legislating relating to the sweepstakes, you find people like John Horgan, the current press ombudsman, who was a Labour senator at the time, and also Mary Robinson, who was a senator, both of them raising serious issues about the, the image of the sweepstake. Journalists also, 7 Days did a big investigative piece, but they weren't allowed to run it. Joe McAntony, the well-known investigative journalist for the time, probably ran the biggest expose when he ran an 8,000-word piece in the Sunday Independent in January 1973 entitled Where the Sweep Millions Go, which really blew the lid off a lot of the irregular and illegal practices that were being undertaken to smuggle tickets into the US and ask serious questions about where the actual money went and how much of it went to the hospitals. That, I think, began to wake Irish people up to the fact that there was a less than okay attitude to the Irish sweep, that they had its seamier side. Now, I know from looking at civil service files in the National Archives that the civil servants in the Departments of Justice and Foreign Affairs were well aware of those dubious questions about the image of Ireland that the Irish sweepstake created abroad. So this became public knowledge by the 70s. The other thing which really put paid to the sweep was a big postal strike in Ireland at the end of the 1970s. For the first time at that time, a sweep draw had to be cancelled. The sweep had actually survived things like the Second World War. It never had to cancel any of its draws, but the postal strike of the late 1970s did it immense damage, and a lot of its foreign contributors took their business away after that. And it was really on the downward slide then from until it ended officially in 1987.
Marie, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Yep.
Marie Coleman's the author of The Irish Sweep. Marie, thanks a million.
Thank you very much, Sean.